Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was reading about six trends. Every single year, Barna partners with the American Bible Society on the state of the Bible. And this research revealed six trends. The first trend is that skepticism towards the Bible continues to rise dramatically. The number of those who are skeptical or agnostic towards the Bible, who believe that the Bible is just another book of teachings by men, has nearly doubled. And in that, in just 3 years. Not only are millennials more likely to be skeptical towards the Bible, they are also less likely to read the Bible to begin with. 39% say they never read the Bible. The second trend is that most Americans continue to be pro-Bible. Now, being pro-Bible doesn't necessarily mean Americans use the Bible on a regular basis, because only 37% of Americans report reading the Bible once a week or more. The third trend is distraction and busyness continue to squeeze out the Bible. In other words, 40% report being just too busy to read the Word of God. 17% say that they don't read the Word of God because of a significant change in their life. 15% say they don't read the Bible because they've become atheist or agnostic. 13% have stopped reading the Bible because they've had a difficult experience that has caused them to doubt God. 8% say that, well, they haven't seen that the Bible's made much difference in someone else's life, and so they've stopped reading the Bible. Again, the major trend here is that distraction and busyness continue to squeeze out the Bible in the lives of many. The fourth trend, the age of screens has come to stay in the Bible market. That's not a great surprise. Just a handful of people are sticking with the old ways, as the use of tablets and smartphones for Bible searches continues to skyrocket. Now, certainly there's nothing wrong with using smartphones, there's nothing wrong with using tablets, but one thing that I have been emphasizing, and of course we emphasize because we're always making a book, or not always, but predominantly making a book, the resource of the month, is that people need to read. They need to read the Bible, they need to read books, biographies, classics, because in reading, we can reflect. So often what's happening is we are distracted through technology. So technology has its place, but it should never replace the reading of good books and certainly the Bible. The fifth of six trends is increasingly people come to the Bible for answers or comfort. And what that has to say about millennials in particular is that they want to know how the Bible connects to everyday matters like parenting, financing, and the workplace, and so on. not to express their faith in God or their adoration or confess their sins or express thanksgiving to God, but to receive comfort. And I would contend that one of the things that has greatly enhanced my prayer life and would greatly enhance your prayer life as well is to utilize the Bible. This morning, for example, as I was going through my prayer time, I used Psalm 145. It is a wonderful way in which you can express your adoration towards God. It begins with the words, "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty." So the Bible is useful in so many different ways, including powerful with respect to your prayer life. The sixth of the six trends is people are less likely to link moral decline with a lack of Bible reading. And yet, the legacy of the Bible is in the ethos, the mores, the civil liberties, the art, the language, the science, and the jurisprudence of Western civilization. The Bible is yet and will ever be the most significant of God's revelations. He has revealed himself in the world in which we live. He has revealed himself in the Word of God. And he has revealed himself through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we remain today with a Word that can transform us. But we have to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. I'm going to go to the phone lines now. First up, Mark in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for taking my call today. I listen to your broadcast as often as I can, and I really appreciate your ministry, so thank you. I really struggle in understanding kind of what God's purpose was in creating the law and the very, you know, specific pieces of that law. And I guess I would just say that I understand that that was a precursor to Jesus coming and being a sacrifice for us. Can you speak a little bit to why God created the elaborateness, I guess if that's a word, of the law?
Yeah, well, his people were to be separate from the nations around them. And therefore, they had to adhere to laws that showed that separateness because they had been called to be a light to the nations. And so many of the laws that were civil and ceremonial pointed to that separateness that they were to have. But you also had many of the laws being prefigures or types pointing towards the antitype, which, of course, is Jesus Christ. So the greater reality to which a type points and in which it finds fulfillment is always referred to the antitype. So the writer of Hebrews, for example, specifically employs that word to refer to the greatness of the heavenly sanctuary of which the holy land, the holy city, and the holy temple are merely types or shadows. So these types or shadows in the sacrifices pointed forward to a sacrificial lamb. And of course, when the sacrificial lamb comes, then those types and shadows are no longer necessary because they have found a fulfillment. Of course, it's important also to point out that antitypes themselves may function as types of future realities. So, for example, communion or the Eucharist is the antitype of the Passover meal. But the Passover meal, while it pointed to communion, allows communion to point to something else. The Last Supper and the corresponding sacrament of communion serve as the antitype of the Passover meal and point forward to ultimate fulfillment in the wedding supper of the Lamb. So again, there is a complex structure, but that structure points to a holistic whole. And that's why I often say that when you read the Bible, you have to take the Bible as a whole. You can't understand the individual parts without understanding the Bible as a whole, but you can't understand the Bible as a whole without understanding the individual parts. So the Bible is synergistic with respect to itself. All the types and shadows pointing forward to a substance, and Jesus being the only one who can fill or walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies. We are coming up to station break. Do remember, for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be right back.
Fatal torment, empty tomb, appearances of Christ, transformation. These four witnesses prove the resurrection of Christ, the central truth of Christianity, and our only hope of heaven. Hank's book, The Third Day, examines the historical facts in depth to help you defend your faith and rejoice in your own coming resurrection. The Third Day is our thank you for your gift today to help produce more Bible Answer Man broadcasts and other truth-affirming CRI resources. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Tom. He's listening in Hawkins, Texas. Hi, Tom.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
And I really appreciate your program. It's just helping me because you get locked in these little local environments and you can't get the information from outside, and you provide that. What I called about was in Revelation 21 when it talks about the New Jerusalem. I've been taught all my life that's in the sweet by and by. And I see it as present day. And that's kind of what I wanted your input on, which way you see it. I feel like there was times when I was doing prison ministry, I'd be put in positions that were totally above my head. And I'd just say, Lord, I'm here, and I came, and I will step up, but you're going to have to speak.
Mm.
And when those things came, it seemed as if I was walking on that street of gold.
Wow.
And I just kind of wanted your opinion.
Well, you know, the New Jerusalem, it is a beautiful rendering of the full complement of God's people from every nation and language throughout the world and throughout every epoch of time. And it is coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. So the church is called the bride of the Lamb, or the wife of God. And so what you have in Revelation chapter 21 is this beautiful picture of the full complement of God's people who together with God will share an eternity, which is to say that in this very passage you have the words with respect to the New Jerusalem, it is coming down out of heaven from God. And the text tells us now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Very much in keeping with what you find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Jesus comes down and the people go out to meet him, and together they live. Like Adam and Eve lived with God in the cool of the day, the relationship once severed is now restored. Death no longer a reality. The reality being that we will be with our Lord forever. And Paul then says in 1 Thessalonians 4, therefore comfort one another with these words. So is it future or is it present? Well, it is in the sense of the full complement of God's people, the perfected bride. It is something that we long for yet in the future. There is a foretaste, though, as you so beautifully pointed out, in the present, because we can experience being seated with Christ in heavenly places. So we have a sense in which we now experience the Lord. We experience life to the full, but it will not be until Jesus appears a second time that the veil between the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity is forever removed. And when that happens, our Lord will be as close to us physically as he is close to us now spiritually. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Nicholas. He's listening in El Paso, Texas, on KELP. Hi, Nicholas.
Hey, Hank. I'm just trying to, I have a big question. It's been bugging me for about a week now. Anytime you go on, I play online games. I also, you know, I'll watch videos on YouTube, look stuff on Facebook, but I notice anytime someone mentions Christ or, you know, God, there's always people who come up and are just really rude in their comments, and they'll argue for days about it. My question is, how to do, I don't like leaving someone who says something that rude or anti-God just out there, because I feel like it just leaves it kind of validates by no one answering. How do we as Christians answer stuff like that?
Well, one of the things you do is you get a copy of New Atheism by Graham Veal, a survival guide. I mean, that's one of the reasons we made that resource available. It is to learn to deal with people who are being belligerent. Now what's happening is the new atheists are using dogmatic assertions as opposed to providing defensible arguments, what Granville calls the sneer factor. So we need to know how to deal with that, not in kind, where we become belligerent ourselves, but deal with it in gentleness and respectful manner. Recognize that people are trapped in systems, and oftentimes they don't know about the system that they're trapped in. They don't realize what the logical extension of it is. And so we should take pity on them and be kind and generous in the way that we respond to them.
Right. I do tend to feel that way about them. I kind of want to say something that would be, you know, kind of give them a question to ask as opposed to a sneer. I just wasn't sure how to do that without maybe causing them to, you know, react with, oh my gosh, I'm going to argue to death.
You know, what's interesting is to get them to think, if they will think, about the logical conclusion of what they've given themselves to. So if you're an atheist, if you believe that there's no such thing as God, now you're in the untenable position of having to say that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produces metaphysical realities. Not only that, but if you're an atheist, you are blindly determined by genetics, by brain chemistry, by physical processes, which is to say that you now have no free will whatsoever. The logical consequence of atheism as well is that if it were true, there would be no difference between right and wrong, between good and bad, and you would just be here by dumb luck. Those are the logical consequences of that belief. Now, some people bite the bullet, others don't. They obfuscate. But this is beyond a doubt what atheism portends. And so you want to be able to ask intelligent questions like, do you think you have free will, or is your life just fatalistically determined? And how does nothing produce everything? Do you really think that your life is just a function of dumb luck? These are questions that get people perhaps to think about the consequences of their values and their positions.
Thanks, Hank. I had been looking at the that New Atheist book, so it looks like I'm going to be grabbing that, and I appreciate you taking the time to expound on that.
You're welcome. Appreciate your call. You know, the New Atheists are reduced to such circular arguments because they're selling a feeling, the assurance that unbelief is infinitely superior to theistic superstition. Now, it's one thing to make them think about their own position. It's another thing to point out that theistic superstition is a sneer. It's not reality. If you look at the universe, you know there has to be a universe maker. That's just common sense. If you look at something that's complicated like a watch, or even something uncomplicated like a basketball, you know that there is a creator of both. When you look at a universe with 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars, this is a minimalist case, by the way, that's stating the minimalist position. I could easily say 170 billion galaxies with billions and billions of stars, but even at a minimalist position or perspective, it is immense and hard to imagine that something with such intricate balance and sophistication is a function of blind chance. You look at a dot of carbon at the end of a sentence made with a pencil. You have 100 billion carbon atoms. And you think about seeing just one of them, you'd have to stretch one of those atoms out to be the size of a football field. Or you think about the fact that now we're finding that everything can be reduced to wavelets of energy, bits of information. So the whole idea of solidity is now called into question. The more you look at the profundity of the universe, the more you are drawn to the one who spoke, and the universe leapt into existence. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We've mentioned a number of resources, all available when you support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Just ask for any one of them when you give a gift this month. And do remember to pray for this ministry as well. We only do what we do because you make it possible.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.